There's already been reports linking the Browns to Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football in the draft. But now that Mike Lombardi has gone there, I am told that Manziel is not necessarily farmer's choice. Let me choose my words clearly here. In fact, he spent the first few weeks of the season scouring all the quarterbacks who he thought would be available, and Marcus Mariota actually was his choice, who didn't end up entering the draft. So I would say the Browns are more open to drafting another position now than they were before.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey kids, become a junior backer.
Yes.
Join the official kids club of the Cleveland Browns. Your membership includes an exclusive fan package to become a junior backer. Call 440-891-5163. That is 440-891-5163. Why do we have to repeat the number for the kids? I think that's a little unfair because we only have the number once for everybody, for the so-called adults we're speaking with.
I think the kids know what's
kids
up.
Know. And yeah. They can go to clevelandbrowns.com for more info.
They're like sponges.
You got to join. We got to, kids, sign up, join. You won't regret it. By the way, Derek Jeter, how's that for selling it? Derek Jeter has now announced that this will be his final year. And legendary player, of course, Yankees, kind of a big story nationally. I know there will be a lot of discussion about this probably after this show with Bruce Hooley and Gerard Cherry. So they'll get into that a little bit. But I'll tell you what, classy an athlete I've ever seen and been around. Had the opportunity to meet him once, talk with him once. Yeah, he's pretty cool. I can't remember what the event was. It was like a banquet years ago when I was writing about more than just football. Steve in Bowling Green wants to talk with us now. Hello, Steve.
Hi there. The guy called a minute ago and argued for Sammy Watkins. This is a standing argument I've had with friends, which led me to do just a half hour or so of research. It isn't the most complete thing ever. But I pulled out every quarterback taken in all the drafts in the last 10 years.
Okay.
And the basic sum of it is this. If you take a quarterback in the first half of the first round, I think it was something like 12 out of 20 would be the kind of guy who you'd be excited, okay, that guy could lead our team.
So 60%.
After that, there were maybe 14 guys total in all the rest of the rounds. For every time you find a Russell Wilson, you find like 13 or 14 guys who are, you know, Colt McCoy. Hmm. And so I'm really struggling, like, because there's only this one draft. And the Browns have never, since, Tim Couch, invested a top flight pick in a quarterback.
Yeah, and they've been looking for that quarterback ever since, and that could have a big reason to do with it. I think they do go quarterback first because I think when you look at the positions and the drop-offs, if you're going to tier them, the quarterback tier that you'd be able to get if you pass on a quarterback early is a significant drop-off from the guy I believe you'd be able to get at the top. Now, there is no Andrew Luck, there's no RG3, but in terms of the receivers, yes, Sammy Watkins is the best receiver in the league, but he also caught about 50% of his passes behind the line of scrimmage. There's some unproven things about him since he relied so much on screens, whereas the receiver depth, I think, in this one is so deep, from Mike Evans to Brandon Cooks, Odell Beckham, Marquise Lee, Jarvis Landry. There are so many receivers, Kelvin Benjamin, who came out of Florida State, just so many receivers in this draft that I think you could get a receiver comparable or close enough to Watkins, whereas you wouldn't be able to do the same with a quarterback close to a Bridgewater, a Bortles, or a John Football. All right, let's bring in the third member of our team as we wrap things up here on CBD, Gerard Cherry. And Gerard, before we get into the serious business, I'm going to start off with a tweet. Comes to us from @PMyersGolf, and he says, I want to know if he's taking his girl to Tomo Sushi for Valentine's Day.
That might be my night spot for Valentine's Day, because I'm always looking for a place where I can shake my thing, if you know what I mean.
Wow. Awesome. That's great.
That's great.
It's really good.
Gerard, do you like to shake your thing late night on Valentine's Day?
No question. It's
who
yes.
doesn't?
Who? It's. I mean, you'd ask such a question. Hey, let me ask you this, Gerard. The fallout, because you guys, I know yesterday had a chance to chat with Mike Florio, and I say you guys, you and Bruce Hooley, trying to get the national takes on this. We had John Clayton with us today, and it seems to be mostly the sense, okay, this kind of had to happen, or understand that it happened, but there's still trouble with the timing and still trouble with maybe a lingering perception of this place being just sort of constantly in turmoil or maybe too frequently in turmoil.
You know what? The national perspective obviously is a big negative on what took place, but I don't see it in that light, and I think the people local here don't see it that way either, and we're here, so I think we'd have a more of a better understanding of what's going on. You had a situation in place where Joe Banner was in charge. He ran everything, and that was hindering other things from getting done. And for me, Vic and Nathan, it's more about if that is the heart of your franchise going through Joe, and he wasn't exuding, based on these reports that we are getting, the idea of team over self, Jimmy Haslam did the right thing, because it can't be about you. When we do this show, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about Nathan. It's about us doing the best show we can possibly do.
Right.
Same thing with Julian Gerard. It's not about me starting or anything like that. It's about doing the best show and putting people in position to succeed. And if your mentality is that I'm going to fold my arms and cross my hands and be mum if I don't like the way things are going and present a image only in my eyes that are skewed, that's a problem. You can't run an organization that way.
What do you think, and I agree with you completely, and like I said, if it's fair or it's not fair, the perception seemed to be very negative about Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi around the league, and that is going to hinder what this team is able to do. Talk a little bit about Ray Farmer and now the fact that the rumor that the Browns will be hiring former Chiefs Vice President of Player Personnel Bill Kuharik, who you worked with in New Orleans. Was he the GM when you were down there?
Yes, he was. It's like everyone that I've worked with in the past is following me here. It's
They're
amazing.
You're magnetic, Gerard. So we'll talk a little bit about those two.
Well, one thing I say about Bill and what I will definitely like about his inclusion, that will be a break from what we experienced with Joe and Mike, and more so Joe, is that Bill's definitely not going to be of the mindset it's about me, me, me. He was a guy willing as a GM to give over his whole entire draft because a head coach and Mike Ditka thought one player could do it all to change the fortunes of an organization and drafting Ricky Williams. So right there, I can tell you that Bill Kuharik is about empowering a coach and making sure he has the things in place to succeed. And you say, well, wasn't Joe Banner doing the same thing? Yeah, he was, but there's a difference when, as a player, you perceive the GM or the CEO being the true boss and your head coach kind of just being a really just a lesser of an individual, a figurehead, more or less.
Gerard, the other thing is that we've gotten into a lot today is how this might influence the thinking of this organization going forward. I think that's really going to be our focus, obviously, for the next several months.
Right.
How they go in the draft, how they go into free agency, and there's two levels to this. One level, Nathan brought this up earlier because this goes into national perception, that having Ray Farmer lead the charge from a personnel standpoint with Jimmy Haslam right there to write the checks is going to be more beneficial to the Browns, going to be more of a positive in the eyes of those potential free agents, and that's a huge thing versus what was previously here. The other thing is draft strategy, mm-hmm. and what will this team look at? What will Ray Farmer's direction kind of lead this team to? Where are you going with some of those thoughts?
Well, one, I'm of the mindset Ray's having played the game and been around the game for the majority of his life. He may have that insight and that feel, and it's intuitive to know a player when he sees one, and hopefully he trusts his gut and goes with it. And also at the same time, when it comes to what he should do, I go back to what's going to help your coaches succeed. If Kyle Shanahan is the type of offensive coordinator that needs a guy that's going to make sure he takes the right amount of drops and steps and listen to that procedure and embrace it and eat, sleep, and drink whatever Shanahan says, bring that guy in as quarterback. Don't bring in a guy that'll be bigger than the city itself and will not listen to that and will know that he has the pull not to listen to that. Those type of things. Consider who you bring in to work with your coaches. And if they take that perspective, how I can make each other better, I think it'll be fine and smooth sailing. It'll be an upgrade because that was not, in my opinion, what took place last year.
Absolutely. And last, real quick, what do you think of Ray Farmer's ability to bring back, say, Alex Mack or lock up Joe Hayden? Do you think he will have a better shot at doing it than Lombardi and Banner did?
I do think he'll have a better shot at doing it because it's fresh with him. He's not seen as the enemy. He's not seen as a guy that was disrupting the team and doing things in a negative fashion. And I didn't answer your question. I'll make it real quick because I know we're up against it. Yeah, and I do think free agents will be more apt to listen to what Ray Farmer says because agents as well do not have a bad feel and vibe about Ray based upon what Joe built for himself in Philadelphia as a hard nose and hard baller type of a negotiator. So that's right there should help the situation with free agents.
Gerard, great stuff. Love it. We will talk with you again tomorrow, my friend.
Yep, don't forget Tomo Sushi Nabachi.
Valentine's Day. A lot of thang shaking going on there. And at the top, and I can't believe I just said that. And at the top of this hour, it will be Bruce Hooley and Gerard, Hooley and Gerard, coming up after this show. Enjoyed this one. Want to thank John Clayton from ESPN for joining us. Want to thank Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. Of course, Gerard Cherry for his usual spot. Megan Rock for the great tweeting she has done throughout the show. And now she is going to be putting together the highlights, the written highlights of this show for Browns Daily Blog, Wrap, which will be a blog that will be posted on ClevelandBrowns.com later today. And check out all our great content there and on the Browns mobile apps. And Jason Gibbs, our outstanding producer. Thank you, sir, for and great stuff with After Further Review. Good questions. All right, more good stuff for you tomorrow. Eric Metcalf is going to be with us because he's going to be in Indianapolis as part of our Combine coverage on this show next a week from tomorrow and Friday. So you'll look forward to that. Okay, that I think does it. I think we're done. For Nathan Zagura, I am Vic Carucci, thanking you profusely for being with us. I like that, profusely for being with us on Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty 4.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.